Good. We are in the middle of Perek Gimel.
Oh, okay.
Perek.
I left my marker. That's how I knew where we were.
368,
but I don't know what.
I do believe the last thing we did was Avner had communicated with David his intent to sort of change sides, if you will, come over to him, bring the tribes of Israel and the loyalty of the army over to David. David's response was to bring him Michal, and that she's a prerequisite for any negotiation with Avner. He also makes that request to Ishbosheth directly. And we had suggested two things going on in David's mindset or in his kind of perspective, both of which revolve around Michal. One was that unlike Avner, David did not want the unification of the kingdom to come at the expense of a civil war. Never wanted that civil war. In fact, he was perfectly willing and perfectly ready to acknowledge, accept, and recognize the kingdom of Shaul and the kingdom of Shaul's descendants, namely Ishbosheth, and perfectly happy to remain the king of Yehuda. Avner's challenge to the kingdom altogether by siding with Ishbosheth and then trying to change sides and coming over to David raised the specter of an all-out civil war. And so David's response to him was, I'll be happy to unite the kingdom, but only if you bring me back Michal, because Michal is the daughter of Shaul. And if Ishbosheth is ready to accept my position as king, then I'll do it, but only as the son-in-law of Shaul. I'm not ready to go and undermine the kingdom of Shaul HaMelech. Rather, I would rather step into the continuation or continuity of Malchut Shaul by restoring his relationship with Michal. That's part one. And part two is he makes the same request of Ishbosheth, assuming, it's unclear whether David realizes that Avner is rebelling against Ishbosheth or not, but his thought to Ishbosheth was, if Ishbosheth was willing to bring him Michal and thereby to bring him back into the Malchus, then that puts Ishbosheth into a critical position, brother of the queen, prince of the kingdom. It gives Ishbosheth a position of honor and dignity if Ishbosheth is the one to orchestrate this kind of unification. In other words, he's not prepared to accept Avner at face value. He's both a better tactician and smarter than that. And so his effort is to try to circumvent around Avner's offer by avoiding the civil war that it would have brought. Rather, as he says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, you want to come to meet me, bring me Michal Bat Shaul. And to Avner, he emphasizes the relationship of Michal as the daughter of Shaul, because ultimately that's the message. The counter message to Avner is, I'm not going to, you want me to destroy Malchut Shaul in light of Malchut David, and his response is, I'll do so, but only as a continuation of Malchut Shaul. Then he turns to Ishbosheth, Veshlach David Malachim al Ishbosheth, makes a similar request, but there it's not Ishti et Michal, because to Ishbosheth it's not about the continuation, it's not about the political ramifications, it's more about the personal connection, both to Michal and to Ishbosheth, enabling Ishbosheth to be the one to bring David back to Michal.
Can I ask you a question? I haven't been here for 2 weeks. Why was Avner changing sides?
Yes, he missed the whole shir. So that's the previous shir. I'm going to leave that.
Okay.
Ishbosheth had accused Avner. Ishbosheth tried to challenge Avner's authority, and Avner responded to him. He said, "How dare you?"
And
so,
okay.
It's a previous.
That's the Cliff Notes.
Listen online. Listen online.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's online.
Okay.
It's a very powerful story, but it's a paragraph earlier. But either as it may, then in fact the only problem with bringing Michal back to David is that Michal had been given away to another individual, whether Palti ben Laish, by Shaul himself, and so it was essentially an effort to take Michal away from Palti ben Laish, and that's what they do. So we're going to jump to Pasuk Tedvav, Vayishlach Ishboshet Vayikachem Me'im Ish Me'im Palti ben Laish. In fact, Ishboshet is the one who sends for her from Palti ben Laish. Vayelech ita isha aloch uvacho acharea ad bachorim. Palti ben Laish clearly is distraught, distressed by this situation. He's crying. And vayoma elav Avner lech shuv vayashuv. And Avner says to him, go home. And he leaves. Meaning, the initial request for Michal to come comes from Ishboshet. But at the meeting place, it's not Ishboshet that meets them to bring Michal to David. It is
Avner.
And that, I think, is telling. That, I think, is very telling to the fact that this is Avner orchestrating the issues, not Ishboshet. And the continuation of the story is the role that Avner plays in now bringing Michal to David, but he does so by making good on his threat to Ishboshet and his promise to David of bringing all of the tribes of Israel back to loyalty to David. So this is his attempt to kind of reunite the kingdom. Udvar Avner aya, I'm reading now in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Udvar Avner haya im ziknei Yisrael lemor, gam tmol gam shulshom, heitem mvakshim et David lemalach aleichem. So Avner begins to gather the elders of Israel, and he says to them, gam tmo gam shulsham, yesterday, the day before, meaning in the past, even though you, elders of Israel, and all the tribes of Israel, meaning Israel, all the tribes except Judah, have sided with Ishboshet and sided with Avner, but I understand, really, in your heart of hearts, heitem mivakshim et David lemelech alechem, you really wanted David, which was true even when Shaul was alive. From the very beginning, the more popular of the two was clearly David, which is why he was always a threat. And even after he ran and Shaul was pursuing him, accusing him of treason, it was clear that the people's, in their heart of hearts, if you ask them who would they prefer, they would say David. So Avner makes them the offer, Ve'atasu, let's do it. Ki Hashem amar al David lemor, biyad David avdi oshiyat ami Yisrael miyad plishim umiyad kol avehem. Because clearly God had enabled David to be the one to save Israel from the hands of the plishtim and from all other enemies. Clearly it's been David all the time that has protected Israel, protected the southern border from the plishtim, protected the northern borders from other enemies. David is the warrior, David is the protector. This we know. And this was God's word. So here's Avner ben Ner, Sar Tzva Shaul, speaking to the elders of Israel, saying to them, the real warrior who's protected us through all these years has been
David.
Who exactly are the elders?
I would assume the leaders of every tribe. It doesn't say, but it's a phrase that appears ubiquitously. Pasuketet, v'hidaber gam Avner b'oznei Binyamin, which just grammatically really means v'hidaber Avner gam b'oznei Binyamin. Sometimes prepositions get shifted around. So Avner also spoke to the elders of Binyamin, in the ears of Binyamin, meaning there's a conversation to be had with all of the tribes, but there's a different conversation to be had with Binyamin.
Because he's related to Shaul.
Because he's related to Shaul, because they're the most loyal to Shaul. right? Because they were the ones from the very from always. Right, they were Shaul's tribe. That's the kind of the inner core, if you will, of the inner sanctum, the inner circle of Shaul's power base is Binyamin.
And didn't he go save him?
Yavesh Gilad. That's not Binyamin.
Oh, it's not?
No. He's Shaul is from Binyamin. Binyamin is right north of Yerushalayim. Yavesh Gilad is on the other side of the Jordan. Vayedaber gam Avner b'aznei Binyamin. Vayelech gam Avner ledaber b'aznei David b'chevron. So he spoke to the people of Binyamin. The word gam in these sentences is always misplaced. It's not clear why, but right. So he spoke to the elders of Binyamin, and then he went to speak to David in Chevron. Et kol asher tov be'enei Yisrael uve'enei kol beit Binyamin. A matter that was good in the eyes of Israel and the eyes of Binyamin, meaning this truce, this treaty, this reunification of the tribes under one banner, namely the banner of David, sat well with the elders of Israel, and it sat well with the elders of Binyamin. So Avner did exactly what he told Ishbosheth he was going to do. Namely,
unify the country and behind David.
Right, he's going to take all the tribes and flip their loyalty back to David. Avner is an extraordinarily powerful kingmaker. Especially after, as we talked about in that a couple of sessions ago, all of his efforts to rid the country of the Plishtim and to fight the wars for 5 years with the Plishtim. Right? Avner is, next to David, probably the single most powerful person in the country. And what he had told Ishbosheth was, back in Pasuk Tet, earlier, when Ishbosheth had challenged him and he responded to Ishbosheth harshly. Actually, you know what? For Jackie's sake, we'll read two psukim there. Go back to Pasuk Chet. Vayichal Avner Mo'od al divrei Ishbosheth. Avner was exceedingly angry at Ishbosheth for accusing him of the motive behind taking Shaul's Pilegesh. Vayomer Harosh Kelev Anoch Esher LeYuda. What am I, some kind of Judean dog? Hayom Eseh Chesed in Beit Shaul Avichal Achav Ve'omer Eyu V'loim Tziticha B'yad David. I did such a kindness to you in your father's household. I didn't hand you over to David to be executed. But now you accuse me of, he accused him of marrying Bat Ayo, Shaul's Pilegesh, not for the sake of just taking the Pilegesh, but as an act of rebellion against Ishbosheth. So he took an oath and he said, I'm now going to fulfill the promise that God made to David. La'avir ha'mamlacha mi-beit Shaul u'lakim et kisei David al-Yisrael val-Yehuda mi-dan v'yad b'er-sheva. Take the throne away from the house of Shaul and to hand it over to the house of David. Now again, in Avner's mind, that means that Shaul's malchus comes to an end and David's malchus begins. That was the whole point. Lahavir et amamlachami, Beit Shaul, ulakim et kisei David. Whereas David's response, as we talked about, which had to do with Michal, was to modify that promise. But he did threaten Avner. Avner did threaten to shift the loyalty of the tribes of Israel over to David, and that's precisely what he does in these pesukim. Pasuk Chaf. Vayavo Avner al David Chevron. Finally, Avner comes to meet David in Chevron. Peace treaties are made when enemies come and meet each other face to face. What was the old expression? Only Sadat could come to Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Avner Rahavdu. Right. Avner has to go to Chevron.
Chevron is Chevron,
right? Chevron is Chevron. V'ito esrim anashim. He came with an entourage of 20 people. 20 people. V'yas David l'Avner v'l'anashim asher ito mishta. they made a feast. Now, that's just not an arbitrary comment. When you bake, when you break bread with your enemy, so to speak, that's a peace treaty.
Right.
To eat with somebody is a form of acknowledgement of a peace treaty. Right? This is David's way of acknowledging that, in fact, he accepted Avner's overture and his offer, and they made a feast together, a public demonstration of an embrace. Yomer Avner el David, Akuma ve'elecha. Step two, Avner says to David. Now it's my turn to get up and go. Ve'kpetza el Adoni Melech et kol Yisrael. And bring to you all the people of Israel. Meaning, we've made a treaty, you've made peace, you now have my loyalty. Now it's my job to
bring everybody.
Go and gather the tribes of Israel and their loyalty, and next to you, I'm the most popular person in the country. There's nobody else to do it.
So it's like the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State, Minister of Defense, you identify the title that you think is most appropriate. Only one technical problem with the position of Sar Tzeva is technically David has somebody in that role already. But
so is that what he wanted to be?
Unclear. Unclear. But I'm sure that Yoav wasn't very happy. But we'll see what happens. Ve'kbetzal Adonai HaMelech et kol Yisrael. Vayichretu itcha brit, so that they may enter into a brit with you. Umalachta b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha, so that you may reign over the entire country, right, to your heart's content. Vayishalach David et Avner, vayelech b'shalom. David sends Avner, and he goes in peace. Meaning, David was very willing to accept Avner's overture, again, on David's terms, which is the reunification with Michal, Bat Shaul. That piece of it changes the equation in David's mind, and I think correctly so. Had it all gone according to David's plan, which unfortunately nothing ever went according to David's plan, but had it gone according to David's plan, and David would have entered into the Malchus of Shaul as Shaul's son-in-law. Ishbosheth would have acknowledged it, recognized it, declared his loyalty as well. This whole thing would have been done b'shalom, and Avner would have had some position of significance in his kingdom. It's not clear what. Maybe he would have deposed Yoav, maybe not. Maybe he would have found him some other role. Hayud v'yamei olam. One is the Minister of Defense portfolio, the Minister of Secretary, the Foreign Minister portfolio, we can figure it out. But in all cases, vayelech b'shalom, he sends Avner in peace. One slight problem in this whole story is somebody missing. Who's missing? Well, Ishbosheth is a non-player, but the critical person who's missing is Yoav. Right? We haven't heard from Yoav yet in this whole story. David has just made a brit with the chief of staff of Ishbosheth ben Shaul. He's just officially declared an end to the civil war. He has united all the tribes together under one banner. And in no part of this story has his Sar Tzeva by the name of Yoav ben Tzruya been heard from.
Yoav
ben Tzruya is his nephew. But Avner is also Ishbosheth's cousin. They're all related to each other. Yes, the Tzruya is David's sister. So Yoav, Avishai, and Asael b'nei Tzruya are all sons of David's sister Tzruya. Vine, and here comes the story. Vine avdei David v'yoav bami agdud. In the meantime, in comes Yoav and the soldiers of David who came from the battlefield. Now it's unclear what battlefield they came from, but they came from a battlefield v'shalal rav imam heviu, with a great abundance of booty that they had, spoils of war that they had taken from the Gedud. I assume it was some battle or skirmish with the Plishtim. That's typically what they were dealing with at the time. Unclear where. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that if Yoav came back from the battlefield laden with spoils of war at that moment, what does that mean about the moment before?
He wasn't there.
Right. That he wasn't there. So our observation that this whole brit with Avner is taking place without Yoav's influence or input is clearly because Yoav
is against it.
Well, Yoav wasn't there. Whether he was for or against, we don't know yet.
He wasn't present.
But he wasn't present. And that, I think, is very significant. V'hine avdei David v'Yoav ba me'akdud v'shalal v'avimam eviu. V'Avner enenu im David b'chevron ki shilcho v'yelech b'shalom. By the time Yoav got back to Chevron, Avner was no longer in Hebron because
he was sent in peace.
Because David had sent him in peace. Meaning, it's like two ships passing in the night. Avner's trip to David is orchestrated and timed so that he left before Yoav showed up. Now, whether that's intentional or not, we'll never ever know. Because it doesn't say. V'Yoav v'chol ha'tzava asher ito bao. Yoav came with his entire army. The phraseology here is significant. These are military people. Vayagidu liYoav lemor. It was told to Yoav, saying, Ba Avner bener el haMelech, vayishalcheu vayelech b'shalom. In your absence, Avner bener showed up, met with the king, and left alive on his own two feet. Left vertically.
Instead of dead?
Instead of horizontally, correct. He left by foot and not in a box. You understand the significance of that? Meaning, now, who told Yoav?
There was somebody in his thing like... Dayag and Shaul?
No. This is Vayagidu liYoav. What does Vayagidu liYoav mean?
They told him.
Who's the they? When you want to talk about somebody who you like, somebody's opinion, but you don't want to identify who, you say they. Right? They told him. Who's the they?
We don't know.
They told him. He was told. He was informed. He had enough inner circle spies to tell him that in your absence, you should know that David had a visit from Avner Ben-Ner. Avner Ben-Ner, that scoundrel? Yeah, Avner Ben-Ner. And did David kill him? No, you know, he actually left B'Shalom. They had a whole feast, they had a whole lunch together.
They broke bread together.
They made up. Just letting you know. What you do with the information is your choice, Yoav Ben Sriya. But I'm just letting you know that in your absence, David had lunch with Avner Ben Ner.
Maybe it was his mom.
Whose mom? Avner?
No.
Yoav?
Yoav.
No, doesn't say. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech. So Yoav approached the king. Vayomer, Me'asita. What have you done? I go out for 20 minutes to fight a battle for you, and I turn around, and you turn the whole kingdom upside down. Hine ba Avner elecha. You had Avner in your crosshairs. You had him in your sights. You had him at your table. Lama ze shilachto ve'elech aloch. Why did you send him away? What should you have done with him?
Killed him
on the spot. You think he came in peace? Yadata Avner Ben-Ner. You know this Avner Ben-Ner. You know what he did. Remember, for 7 years, Avner Ben-Ner was the one who, in the death of Shaul, this whole civil war could not have happened without Avner. Because Avner was the one who, in the moment Shaul died on the battlefield, he was the one who went and took Ishbosheth and crowned him king. After David had been crowned king in Judah. In other words, Avner Ben-Ner's rebellion, or Ishbosheth's rebellion, if you will, is really Avner Ben-Ner's rebellion. And the entire civil war that has been orchestrated up until now is clearly the fault of Avner. And the battle at Givon that we just finished learning about in the previous parak was orchestrated by the suggestion of that duel that ended so badly that ultimately led to the battle was the suggestion of Avner. This is a scoundrel you can't trust. Yadatat Avner b'ner ki lefatotcha ba. He's come to seduce you, to spy on you. To know your coming and going, which is a military term for your the inner circle of your military. He's come to spy on you. You let him into the heart of your kingdom, into the heart of your palace, so that he can tell the how many forces you have and how many guards you have and how many and where your water sources are and where how to conquer the palace. You've just handed the store to him. You trust him, you take him at his word. This is a man who stabbed you in the back of the first chance he got. The blood, Shaul had not yet been buried, and he was orchestrating the rebellion with Ishbosheth. How do you trust him? Was he right?
Mom, know what happens now, so I can't.
I mean, I don't think David thought so. I thought he trusted him. But I don't know if he was right.
But David's whole, perception on what's going on in his own family wasn't so great, so who knows what's... I'm just saying...
I'm not sure that I agree with that.
With the daughter and the getting raped by the son.
But that, first of all, that hasn't happened yet. So
oh,
you're so you're a long way off from that story because all of that
happened, but we know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's you can't do that, and the reason you can't do that is because the story of David post Batsheva is a very different story. Everything that happens post Batsheva is a reaction to Batsheva. You can't bring or mix issues that are related to the post-Batsheva world in the pre-Batsheva world. But David is a different context.
So this is all pre.
Correct. Batsheva's in Perek Yudbet. We're a long way, Yudala. We're a long way off.
We're
The question ultimately is, is Yoav right? Was Avner motivated by a sense of, or was Avner going to eventually stab David in the back and go back to Ishbosheth? And was this all a ruse?
Well, he seems very self-serving. David may not know about that. The way he treats Ishbosheth as a pawn, kind of.
Right.
He's his pawn, and then he goes back. He's mad at him. So
David may not know about it. He brought him Michal. That we know. So he made true on the promise to bring him Michal. From the text of the Perek, we know clearly that Avner is motivated not by an attempt to destroy David, but rather an attempt to destroy Ishbosheth.
Right.
So we certainly know that Yoav got it wrong. Did David know? What was David's reaction to Yoav's speech? That's the question. Did David take Avner at face value, or did he suspect Avner of duplicity? That's the question.
Well, I mean, if looking ahead, he gets mad at Yoav, so I assume that he thinks that Yoav was wrong.
Well, he certainly gets mad at, certainly for murdering Avner. That's correct. But just in the previous context of the conversation, is there an indication in the story of David and Avner that how David perceived Avner's reaction? I think that was an open question. We'll look at the next couple of psukim and we'll see. Vayetzei Yoav me'im David. Yoav left David. Vayishlach malachim acharei Avner, and he sent a delegation to chase after Avner. Vayashivu oto mibor asira, and brought him back to Hebron. V'David lo yada, without David's knowledge. What was David's reaction to Yoav's accusation of duplicity?
Nothing.
He doesn't respond. There's no response.
It just says Lo Yada.
In the end, what Yoav begins to do, David doesn't know about. But he does not respond. So either he doesn't respond because he disagrees, and it's not worthy of a response, or he doesn't, Yoav doesn't even wait for a response. And Vayetzei Yoav Ma'im David, he said his piece, turned around and marched out. It's interesting that if you look back at Psukim Chaf Aleph, Chaf Bet, and Chaf Gimel, the meeting between David and Avner, it's a very interesting progression. Chaf Aleph, Chaf Bet, Chaf Gimel, all three of those Psukim end with the same phrase. Vayelech b'shalom. Avner comes to David, and Vayishalach David at Avner Vayelech b'shalom. David sends Avner in peace. Then they come to Yoav and tell Yoav, oh, David came, Avner came, and Kishilcho Vayelech b'shalom. He came, and David sent him in peace. Then Yoav comes, right, Ba Avner, in Pasuk Chabed it says that Avner wasn't there when David arrived because David had sent him in peace. And in Pasuk of Gimel, Yoav is told that Avner came to David, Vayishalcheu Vayelech B'Shalom. So for three psukim in a row, the phrase ends with the sense of Vayelech B'Shalom. When Yoav speaks to David and he describes the same moment, what does he say? Vayomer ma asita hine ba Avner elecha lama ze shilachto vayelech aloch. Why did you send them away? It's the same phrase that we've just seen now for three times. Except
no peace, not shalom.
Right. That leaves out the word shalom. I think textually that's a very powerful indication that David took Avner, embraced him at face value. In David's mindset, Avner had come b'shalom, and he sent him b'shalom. Yoav refused to accept that motivation. Yoav was the one who suspected him all along of duplicity, and ultimately kills him. What he kills him for, we shall see in a moment.
Wait, can I ask a question?
You may.
Was there any significance of why it was three times?
I think the three, typically, that's just a phrase. If we just said it once, it wouldn't have stood out for us.
To emphasize.
Right? But you do it three times in a row.
Then it really is powerful.
And then Yoav turns around and describes the same event as Vayelech Aloch instead of Vayelech B'Shalom. Then you sort of get a sense of where David's coming from. Yeah, I think it's an emphasis in the text. Vayetzei Yoav Me'im David. Vayishalach Malachim Achrei Avner. Vayishivu Oto Mibo Asira. V'David Lo Yada. Vayashav Avner Chevron. So Avner comes back to Chevron. Now Avner, why? What he was thinking? Why does he want me back? Who knows? Further negotiation, further discussion, unclear. Vayashav Avner Chevron. Vayateu Yoav el Tocha Shaar. Yoav brings him, sort of, latot is to take him off the path, meaning to veer him away into the gate, into the entrance of the city. L'daberito b'sheli. Now, sheli is a difficult word. Mefashim has split over its meaning. It probably translates it as in...
It says quietly here.
B'shalom. B'shalva, which is one interpretation. Quietly, milashon shalva. There's another interpretation, which I think probably is more in the context of the parak. The word sheli can also come from the root ashlaya. You know what ashlaya is in modern Hebrew?
Disappointing. Disappointment.
Illusion. Right? A secret. Meaning duplicit motive. So that is also... actually, I might as well take one of these. Rashi translates bisheli as bishkaga. He didn't realize that Yoav was trying to kill him. Deceived him. Bisheli is an expression of deceit. Whereas Radak says Bisheli comes from the word Bishalom. B'shalva. But in all cases, Ve'akeyu sham ha'chomesh. And there, he stabbed Avner ma'chomesh. Chomesh again is that fifth rib, right through the chest. Ve'yamot b'dam asael achif. He died out of vengeance for the blood of Asael, his brother. I really would skip the next two psukim because I want to deal with David's reaction to the whole story separately, but just to be able to finish the paragraph, we'll read it. Vayishma David me'acharechein ve'yomer naki anochi u'me'amlachdim me'im Hashem ad olam midmei avne b'ner. David makes a declaration. I had nothing to do with this. I absolve myself of any responsibility for the blood of Avne b'ner. Yachulu ha'rosh Yoav al kol bet aviv. This should all be on the head of Yoav, al yikaret mbet Yoav, zav mutzra, machazik bepelach, venafel becherev, vechasal lachem. He curses the house of Yoav that they should be plagued with challenge and early deaths and swords and poverty, whatever terrible calamities you can throw onto the house of Yoav.
Why is he being so harsh?
We'll come back to that. I want to deal with his reaction as a separate subject. Yoav Avishai Achiv Hargula Avner. But again, Yoav and Avishai, his brother, they killed Avner, al asher himit et Asael achihem b'Givon b'machala, because they killed Asael, their brother, in Givon, in the midst of the war. So first of all, for the first time, we have an additional element in this pasuk, which is
his brother.
Right, guys, remember there's three brothers of sons of Tzruya, mm-hmm. Asael, Avner, and Avishai. We've had Avishai once before. Mm-hmm. Avishai was the one who went down with David to the side of Shaul in the field when Shaul took his spear and his water mm-hmm. flask, mm-hmm. and Avishai had wanted to kill him. So that was Avishai, and David's reaction there to Avishai was harsh. David's reactions to the sons of Tzruya are typically difficult because he doesn't know what to do with them. They are
thorn in his back.
They are, yes. He is. I think we read the pasuk in Perek Chaf, correct? I think we read the next time they commit murder unjustifiably. And he says,
so are you saying this is unjustifiable?
Yoav? Oh, so we're going to come to that in a second, but yes, I would say so.
Well, he didn't have permission from the king once.
Correct. He says, Mali v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. What am I going to do with you, sons of Tzruya? I'm looking for it. I can't find it so easily. Well, I think we looked at it once before. Where David, in a moment of exasperation, proclaims, "Ma li v'lachem b'nei Tzruya? What am I going to do with you, sons of Tzruya?" Right? He refers to them here as well in Pasuk Lamed Tet. V'nachi ayom rachu mashuach melech v'anashim me'ele b'nei Tzruya kashim yimeni. I am young. I am just newly anointed, and these Bnei Tzruya, they're far more difficult than I can deal with. They're far more powerful. David is constantly plagued by the challenge of dealing with the Bnei Tzruya. What he does with them, we'll see. But that is part of David's reaction to this event. Yishalem Hashem lo'oseh ra'a kira'ato. But I want to come back to the question: were they justified? Not justified? What did they? They killed Avner because of
their brother,
right? Because they killed his brother, right? They killed their brother. His brother killed. He killed their brother. They killed him. Now, there is a concept called which would enable or empower Yoav and Abishai to do exactly what they did, which is to kill Avner for having killed their brother. Right? In the Torah it's called Goel Adam. Right. What's the Goel Adam? Yeah, what's the Goel Adam? Very powerful concept. Goel Adam, that comes from the word for, well, it's avenge the blood. Okay, but the relative of a victim of murder is enabled, empowered to kill the person who killed them, assuming that it was unintentional manslaughter or something like that. Then it then the person has the right to defend himself by running to an Ir Miklat. Right. The whole story of an Ir Miklat comes from the fact that if you kill somebody, you're likely to be endangered by the Goel Adam. If it was accidental, then the Goel Adam has no right to do so, so you have an Ir Miklat to run to. If it's not accidental, if it was intentional, then it can go to Bezdin, but if it doesn't get to Bezdin, it can go to the Goel Adam. The Goel Adam can't be held accountable if he takes revenge. So whatever that story means, and whatever the context is, it doesn't really apply anymore, but the context of the Torah, that was a mechanism, and here you have a man who clearly, publicly killed Asael, and Avishai and Yoav kill him back. They are the relatives. The Goel Adam has to be a relative. It's to acknowledge the heat of the tension of the moment, right? And they killed him as a Goel Adam. And that's what it says, that they killed him. So there is a certain context in which I can understand Yoav and Asael's and Avishai's motive.
Because of Asael.
Because he killed Asael, he's a Goel Adam, right? They avenged the blood of their brother.
But they cloak it under something else, though. You know what I'm saying? They're not.
It doesn't matter how they cloak it.
Okay.
Oh, you mean because they tricked him to come back?
No, because instead of just saying we're going to do this, it's like, well, Avner wasn't honest with David. I don't trust him, blah, 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 blah.
I suspect that that's true. Yoav didn't trust him. Yoav doesn't say to David that the motivation behind his efforts is because he's going to avenge the blood of his brother. It's
why did David trust Avner? From where did he decide?
Avner or Yoav?
No, Avner. Why did he, you know, be so solicitous to him? Under what pretext did he trust himself?
Well,
David always he trusted him, and I think he trusted him. First, we trusted him. In the end, I think he was. Was he right to trust him or not right to trust him? I mean, if it wasn't if it wasn't for Yoav's effort to undermine him, I mean, was Avner in a position to bring him the tribes of Israel? Yes. Was Avner in a position to end the war peacefully? Yes. Was Avner interested in doing that at this point in time? Yes. You prepared to forgive Avner for the sins of his past in order to be able to build a peaceful future moving forward? I suspect that David has been dreaming about this moment for 7 years. I don't see any reason why David wouldn't have taken Avner, especially if he brought him Michal. He brought him the olive branch that he asked him to bring, which to David was proof of his willingness. Whether he knows about the story of Ishbosheth and Mitzvah Bataya or not, I don't know. But I take David at his word. David is what you see is what you get with David.
And he could have killed Yoav and Abishai, but he, I guess.
Who? He could have.
He curses him so God can kill him.
Yeah, we'll come back to his reaction. I want to leave his reaction for next year. His reaction is very important, but it's multi-leveled, multifaceted, and complex. There is a fascinating discussion in the Gemara that, like one of these midrashim that, you know, I've often said midrashim have to be taken seriously, not necessarily literally. It's a fascinating discussion in the Gemara as to exactly what were the conversation between Yoav and Avner was about. And I just share it with you because I think there's a lot to be learned from this discussion. When it says Vayateo Yoav al toch hashar ledaber ito basheli, it's Gemara in Sanhedrin. I put it on the page. Yoav missed or veered, caused Avner to veer off the path and meet him in the shaar, in the gate, basheli, in secret. Amar of Yochanan, shedanu din Sanhedrin. The phrase basheli, the Gemara darshens as a kind of reference to a Beit Din. Why the Sha'ar? The Sha'ar is the location of the Sanhedrin. Okay, the Sha'ar is where the Beit Din sat. In every city you had Shoftim b'shotim titenecha b'chol sha'arecha. So the emphasis here on bringing him into the Sha'ar tells me that the Sha'ar isn't just a place where they could hide, but the Sha'ar was really a major metropolis, a major center of the city, and where the Sanhedrin sat, and he wanted to bring him to Din, says the Gemara. Amalei, which now this is the chronicle of the conversation that supposedly happened in the court. He said to my time katalte le'asael, why did you kill Asael? Now you remember the story. Why did Avner kill Asael?
Wasn't this like a Dovin and Goliath thing?
No. Why did
Asael rodeh chayah, so what did he do?
What did Asael, what was the story? What was the context in which Avner killed Asael? You remember the details? You got to go back.
It's not that long ago, but I remember.
You got to go back. You got to go back. You have to have the story in at your fingertips to understand what's going on. Go back to Perek Bet. This is Berchat Givon in the aftermath of the
against Avner.
There was a war. There was a war going on.
Counting of the people.
No, it was how many troops?
How many troops?
There was the war in Givon.
Right.
The battle in Givon. Let's go back to Perek Bet. They were in Givon. There was a standoff of the two forces of Yoav on the one side, Avner on the other. Avner made the suggestion of letting the 20 people from each side
go into battle,
right. With 12 people from each side. Right. They all got killed, and then the battle began. Pasuk Yitchet, Pasuk Yitzayin, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yitzayin. After they all got killed, Vatiya Muhammad Kashad Ma'od Bayamahu, Vayenagif Avner Vanshe Yisrael Ifne Avde David. The war turned, and it was a difficult battle. Avner ultimately was the losing hand of that campaign. Vayusham Shlosha B'nei Tzuya. And there, they happened to be in that battle, the three sons of Tzuya, Yoav, Avishai, Vasael. Vasael, Kal B'raglav, each one had a different characteristic. Asael was quick. He was a speedster. Ki achad atzvayim asher basadeh, fast as a deer. Vayirdof acharei Asael acharei Avner. Asael pursued Avner to kill him. Right? V'lo netal alechat ayamin ve'al smol. He wouldn't leave him. He wouldn't veer off. He was like a
beacon.
Like a smart missile. What do they call it? Mechay Avner. Vayifen Avner Acharav. Finally, Avner turned to him. Vayomer Avner said to Asael, Hataz Asael? Is that you, Asael? Vayomer Anochi. Vayomer lo Avner. Netelecha yemincha al smolecha. Leave me alone. Go right, go left. Just stop pursuing me. Vechozdecha achad me'anearim v'kach lechat chalitzato. Right, you want to claim that you did something, go take somebody's uniform. Meaning, go claim that you killed me or something. V'lo ava Asael asum yachrav, Asael refused. V'yosef od Avner lemor el Asael. So again, Avner turned in the heat of the pursuit. Turned behind him and he's yelling back to Asael. Sur lecha me'acharai, leave me alone. Lama akeka arza. Ve'ech esafanai el Yoav achicha. How am I ever going to face your brother Yoav if I kill you? This is not going to end well for you. Now, understand, who's chasing whom?
Asael is chasing
Avner. Mm-hmm. Avner is running. Avner turns to Asael and says, I don't want to kill you.
It's not going to end well.
This isn't going to end well for you. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to have to face your brother. Call it off. Vayema'en lasur, Asael refused to call it off. Vayakeu Avner ba'achare achanit alachomesh. So Avner stabbed Asael backwards, whatever the description is, through the chest, through the fifth rib, vatetze achanit me'acharav, and speared him through. And he fell there. So Avner is not somebody to trifle with. And Asael trifled with him. Asael tried to push, Avner tried to push him off. Twice he warned him. And twice, and Asael refused. So he finally, in the heat of battle, he turned and he asked, this is ridiculous, and he killed him. So now, it's time for Yoav to get his revenge. So in this supposed court proceeding,
But Yoav doesn't know that, right?
In this conversation, he brings him to court and he says to him, my time of katlat l'Asael. Why did you kill Asael? So Avner's response is, Asael rodef haya. What do you mean? Asael was a rodef. What's a rodef?
He's pursuing me.
It even says, Vayirdof Asael acharav. He was pursuing me. Pursuing me to kill me. Self-defense.
So wrote it.
To which Avner responds and says, you didn't have to kill him. You could have wounded him. You could have maimed him. The halacha of a rodef is that if the nirdaf, if the one being pursued, has the ability to stop the pursuer by wounding him rather than killing him, right? Shoot to wound, not shoot to kill, he's obligated to do so. And if he has that ability and he doesn't do it, and instead he shoots to kill, he's guilty.
Wow.
It's the same rules of engagement that exist in the police department, right? If you feel you're being threatened,
right,
but you have the ability to wound and not kill, you have to do that. And if they have to, and every time you kill somebody as a police officer, they have to do an assessment whether or not the circumstances were such that you could have wounded and stopped the pursuer rather than killed. That's what he says to him. To which the Gemara's description is that Avner's response to Yoav was, Lo yachilele, I couldn't, that option wasn't there. To which Yoav responds and says, Hashta bedofen chamishit kivantale, be'achad me'evrav lo yacholtale, you were able to aim your spear sufficiently to spear him through the fifth rib. You couldn't hit a leg.
Pretty specific.
That's,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. That's the supposed conversation that the Gemara describes. And therefore, he considered him guilty and kills him as a murderer. Now, clearly, and I think it's very important, the Gemara, these descriptions in the Gemara of the conversations that aren't in Tanakh are not meant to describe events that occurred that are not here in Tanakh. They're meant to describe a perspective on what is taking place. And the perspective here is very telling. What's ultimately going on between, let's call it a machloket, or call it a dispute between Avner and Yoav, are two different worldviews of what took place in the context of the battle of Asael. In the worldview of Yoav, get my names right. In the worldview of Yoav, what happened there on the battlefield?
He killed my little brother.
He killed my little brother.
He didn't kill my brother.
He murdered my brother.
Right. And he didn't have to.
Right?
He could have stopped him a different without killing him.
Didn't have to. He killed him. This entire engagement was illegal from the outset. In the world of Avner,
self defense.
I would go one step further.
He tried to discourage him.
Right.
He did try to discourage him. Was it possible? Let me just throw it out theoretically. Was it possible, conceivably, for Avner to in fact have stopped Asael by wounding him instead of killing him? Is that at all conceivable?
Well, it should have been if they already described the fifth rib. I mean, so that's
right. It's possible,
specific.
Right? We don't know for sure, but it's possible.
He could have still died. He was up by himself and he could have bled to death. Like it
could
cut off his leg.
Yeah. Anything's possible. Anything's possible. Ruth is getting into the she's getting into the ethos of this Sefer of Tanakh. Right? She's getting into the spirit of Sefer Shmuel Bet. Right? What is, can you describe any context in which, even if he could have stop the pursuer, shoot to maim, not rather than shoot to kill, I wouldn't have expected him to do so.
Why? Because you don't like him?
Can you think of any context, and can you think of any context in which it would have been acceptable for Avner to in fact kill Asael rather than wound him, even if he could have just wounded him?
Because of how the whole battle started?
Broad context.
If he's a Rodev,
the halacha of Rodev is you stop the pursuer. If you can stop him in another way, you should. That's the halacha of a Rodev.
I didn't know that.
When there are wars, people can stop him.
Stop. That's the word I'm looking for. And the bell rings right on time. Right? That's the word I'm looking for. Say it again.
Correct. That.
The laws of a rodev and the parameters of the laws of a rodev are not in the midst of battle. They are applicable to a civilian context. And in the civilian context, or even a police context, which is not the context of war, in the context of a police work, or in the context of a civilian, a nirdaf is obligated to first try to stop the pursuer if he can by assessing if he can stop him with in non fatal way. If the context is not military, then you're correct. But if the context is war, the rules of engagement in war are different.
Does everybody know this? I mean, is this like a...
It has to be. Right? The laws of Pikuach Nefesh are different than the laws of war. In war. Everything is different in war. Wars operate in a different reality. You're dealing with a milchama, you're dealing with an all-out war. You understand that you're dealing with a context in which there's a different expectation. If you're being pursued by an enemy force, you're going to tell your soldiers, you're in the midst of a battle, you're in the middle of a campaign, there are soldiers on each side, horses and spears and swords, and you're going to tell your soldiers, see if you can hit the leg, maybe, in the arm, and disarm them before I maybe tase them.
Okay? In Israel, when they...
Not in the middle, only if you're dealing with riot control and you're dealing with, right? But the moment you're dealing with open warfare, the moment you deal with open warfare, the rules change. Okay. You're dealing with riot control, yes. You're dealing with civilians, yes. You're dealing with open warfare and army against an army? Absolutely not. You deal with the military as an army and you deal with it and finished. And no expectation would ever be to shoot to maim before, rather than kill. So at the end of the day, what's the real machloka between Yoav and Avner?
Was it war or peace?
No? Right. Was this campaign considered a legal battle? Given the fact that the whole thing started because Avner had made a suggestion to Yoav that they do this by a duel of 12 against 12, right? Battle of the champions. It's conceivable that you looked at this whole story and said, this is not war, this is a murderer. This campaign is not legal, it's illegal. Whereas Avner looked at this as your army was pursuing my army. We were in the middle of a war. So that fundamentally Yoav looked at Avner and judged him as a, not as a warrior, not as a general, but as a murderer. And therefore killed him as a Goel Adam. Whereas Avner, and the way David looked at it, it's a general against general. It's during a war. And if you kill him as a Goel Adam, you become the murderer.
Wow.
And ultimately that becomes the point of dispute between David and Yoav. Do you kill Avner as an act of personal vengeance Goel Adam?
Right.
Or general against general in the context of an ongoing battle.
Wow.
Very different perspective. I think that's what the Gemara is trying to drive at. That there's a dispute whether or not this was a military context or a civilian context. I just want to end with one observation. Take a look at Pasuk Lamed. V'yoav Avishai achiv hargu la'avner al asher himit tasel achihem begivon
l'melchama.
The judgment of the text is that this was a military campaign, and therefore he was died in battle. And therefore Yoav was guilty of murder rather than self-defense. And the phraseology here, I think, emphasizes that piece of the story.
Very interesting.
All right, we will adjourn here.
And we're not meeting next week.
We are not meeting next week. Tanis Esther, I think we'll...